Pray and let the Lord bless you and just prepare you again like we usually do. I really want to impart something before we get into the teaching. And so if you would, just bow your heads, close your eyes, open your hearts, turn your expector on. Let the grace flow into your heart, into your mind. You know, there's always grace when we meet corporately, always grace that God so desires to unlock and to pour into us. And so, Father, right now we just take a moment and we just detox from the day. We just separate ourselves, Lord, from everything that's gone on. And we just ask you to pour into each one of our hearts and into our lives exactly the grace that we need tonight to be strengthened in the Spirit, to be strengthened in you, to be strengthened in your love, to be comforted, Lord, to have ears to hear, to know what you're saying to us in this time and season. Lord, let us have grace just to serve you acceptably and to serve you, Father, to fulfill our callings. We thank you for an anointing here tonight. We just bind any demonic forces that would hinder this service in the name of Jesus. We just declare that the people are loose to hear your word, that I am loose to give it in Jesus' name, that I'm your mouthpiece tonight to speak your word in your life to these precious people. And we just give you praise for that, Father. Thank you for any healing that's needed here. Lord, let that be activated now in the name of Jesus. Any bondages that need to be broken, let them be broken now in the name of Jesus. And I specifically forbid any distractions, any hindrances, anything that would hinder your word from being heard that you're desiring to get forth into your people's life tonight. I declare them loose to hear in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So be it. All right. Thank you again for being here. This is part number 5. Tonight, we're not going to be talking as much about finances per se, but something that very directly affects finances, that if you leave this out of your life, your finances will never become everything they could be. And that's the subject of words and authority in your life. I know we've heard this, but I found in my life that I have to rehear this often, this message often in my life. And when I hear it, it fires up things in my life that I need to use my words and focus them like a laser towards so manifestation can happen. So that's what one of the things that words do is you're able to focus words towards situations or speak words over people, words of blessing, not curses, but you're able to focus words to produce a result. Now, I heard this story about Rufus and Clarence. Rufus and Clarence, they were these two old geezers. I always think about Ken when I hear this story. Not that Ken's an old geezer, but this is his kind of story, okay? Yeah, he's already took offense, so I hope not. There were two old geezers living in the backwoods of Indiana, Rufus and Clarence. They lived on opposite sides of the river, and they hated each other. Every morning for almost 20 years, just after sunup, Rufus and Clarence would go down to their respective sides of the river, and they would yell at each other. Rufus, Clarence would shout, "You better thank your lucky stars I can't swim, or I'd swim over this river, down over this river and tie your ears together." Clarence, Rufus would shout back, "You better thank your lucky stars that I can't swim, or I'd swim over this river and tie your ears together." So one day the Army Corps of Engineers came along and built a bridge. Still every morning this yelling went on between the two men, and finally his wife Maggie had enough. "Rufus, I can't take no more. All these 7 years you've been threatening to tie Clarence's ears together. Well, there's a bridge. Have at it." Rufus thought for a while, snapped his suspenders, and headed off the porch. He walked down to the river, came to the bridge, walked about halfway over the bridge, looked up and turned tail and ran screaming back to the home, slammed the door and bolted the windows and dove under the bed. "Rufus," cried Maggie, "I thought you were going to go take care of Clarence." I was. "Well, what in the world was the matter?" "Well," muttered Rufus, "I went to the bridge. I stepped on the bridge, walked halfway over the bridge, looked up, and there above me was a sign that said, 'Clarence, 13 feet, 6 inches.'" Maggie, he never looked that big from this side of the river. Oh, my goodness. So tonight we're going to talk about the power of words. Words have power, Clarence, okay? Words have power. So to the enemy, your faithful words of authority can make Clarence look 13 feet 6 inches tall, okay? All right, so I want to remind you of a quote that I shared a few weeks back from Abraham Lincoln. He said, the most reliable way to predict the future is to create it. And I thought that's such a powerful, powerful quote. And when you take a look at words and you really start to learn how to use words in your life to benefit yourself, and this is something, as I said, back in around the year 2000 when I began to learn about the faith message, this was one of those things that began to shift in me. It was like a genesis that happened. And with the message of faith came this teaching on using your words, both not speaking bad words to bring death and using good words to bring life. Sometimes we just try to take the bad words out, which is great, that's beneficial, but we forget that, you know, we can speak the good words to build things up and to establish boundaries and build things in our future. And that's the direction we're going to go tonight. So all this goes along with wealth building. All these are things I've probably one of the biggest tools I've used in building wealth in my life has been speaking over situations in my life, both protecting things God has already given me and loosing things that have not even arrived yet in both of those areas and everything in between. Okay, so again, this applies to your healing. This applies to your kids, your grandkids, speaking over them. It applies to very much to your heart, to your emotions, what you say over your life when you don't feel like you know you're worth anything or anything's going right. What you're speaking over your life really, really matters. It's really, really powerful. And so, as I talked about a few weeks back, that words are one of those currencies that we have in our life. Remember I talked about there's things God's put in our life that we can spend to, you know, to receive things, checks we can write to purchase things in our life or to see things come about in our life. And words are one of those currency areas that we have in our life. And whether we realize it or not, we are creating our futures every single day. Whether we believe this principle or not, we are creating our futures every single day by the decisions we make and by the words that we speak over our life. And so my encouragement to you tonight, my exhortation tonight in standing before you is to use those words to build a good future. And there's multiple times in the Word we're not going to take time to go into tonight where that you know, it's not God's chosen a day that you're going to die or God's not choosing, you know, an amount of money that you're going to have. No, He's chosen to bless you and He's given us as a steward or as a servant or a son or daughter, actually is a more accurate description, as a son or daughter, He's given us abilities and whether we take those abilities and multiply them are up to us, and to the point that we do that is to the point that we, you know, we prosper, our health prospers, our we have success in certain areas with what we do with the talent that we are given, just like it says, I think it's Matthew 13, where that the, you know, that the master gives his servants the different talents, one, two, and five, I believe, in the one story. And, you know, the two of the servants go out and multiply those talents. And so, you know, we've all been given that ability to grow, to prosper, to multiply in our life. But it really boils down to how we choose to work the word in our life or not, right? It's a long introduction, but I think you probably would agree with most everything I'm saying here. So words are one of the most powerful currencies we have. They bridge heaven to earth. They transport spiritual blessings into your life. James chapter 3 talks about how that words shape your future like a ship's rudder will turn that big giant ship. You can read that in James chapter 3. Proverbs 18:21, as we know, they carry life or death. So your words are containers. They are carriers of life or death. And, you know, you don't need to be so fearful that what you speak is going to blow your life up. You know, we don't want you getting bondage too far that area, but you need to understand the principle that what you are speaking and specifically what you are speaking over and over again, okay? Yeah. You know, the ruts of your speech, whether you have a rut toward prosperity or a rut towards fear, or those things you speak over and over are like reinforcements in your life. It's like you, every time you speak something, then you know your mind goes to putting, you know, there's neural pathways you create by the words you speak. It's like Pastor Tom shared, and I've heard multiple people say this, where that they chose a day where that everybody was going to tell the secretary that, oh man, you don't look too good today. You kind of look puked there. You look quiet. Are you feeling okay? And they had her sent home by noon, because a neural pathway was created that I must be sick. And so she believed what she had heard, and she started speaking what the others had spoken, and she was at home before the day was over. And so in the same way, we can discipline ourselves to speak what the Word says. We're not talking about just speaking something off the wall and trying to create a new planet, right, or get somebody else's husband or wife, or, you know, or move a continent from one place to another. We're not talking stupid stuff, okay? We're talking about things that the Bible promises us inside of covenant that are good, beneficial, life-giving, that we can use words to bring those things into our life. God's not the author of death. He's the author of life. John 10:10 says what? Thief comes to steal and kill, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's right. So as we tie into the words that Jesus spoke and the words that are in the Word of God, then we are propagating that life. We are replicating the life that God has already given us, but we're replicating it in our own life, our own personal world that we're living in. I won't go any further into that, because I could go way far into that. But the point is that we've got to use words to build our life, whether it's wealth or anything else. So with your words, there's either an attachment of life or an attachment of death. And Jesus himself said that you're going to eat the fruit of your own words, and out of your heart is going to proceed, you know, blessings or cursings. Out of your heart is going to proceed good or evil, and so you guard your heart. We talked last week, I think it was, about out of the issues, out of the heart proceed the issues of life and death. There's going to be boundaries that come out of your heart, and so putting the Word of God in there and speaking the Word of God helps create good boundaries coming out of your life. So again, we've got to be careful when we're speaking negative things over and over in our life, because when we do that, we can come into covenant with those words that we speak. Job was terrified that something evil and bad was going to come to his kids, and he went so far in his life, and I can't get into this very far, but he went, you know, he was so afraid that something was going to happen to his kids that in essence, that's exactly what happened. That you know, this fear that came on his life overtook him in an evil. So we got to be careful that when we're saying things in our life, like, you know, I get sick every spring when these allergies, you know, come. Or you know, something bad always happens to me. I always start out good, and it blows up somewhere along the way. You know, you say that not once, but you say it, you know, time and time, and everything you put your hands to, you say that phrase, and it becomes a prophetic phrase that gets fulfilled, because you're attaching, you know, your life to what you're saying. You're sabotaging yourself when God's not a part of it. You know, God's trying to correct that. So don't make a covenant with, you know, with the negative that happens in your life. Make a covenant with what God has said, okay, and speak what God has said. Even if 99 times out of 100 is still going wrong, make a covenant with what God has said, you know, that I'm an overcomer through Jesus Christ. I'm an overcomer through the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I overcome. So make a covenant with that. So the good news is, if we're making a covenant with a negative, it can easily be broken. It can easily be turned around. So anyway, so let's look at this. Using your faith voice tonight, using your faith voice. And I'm going to talk about faith hammers and forcible words. Job 6:25 says this: how forcible are right words. How forcible are right words. And so I'm going to emphasize here how powerful that words can be for a few minutes. I know we understand that, but let's hear it again. How forcible are right words. How many people in this room that someone has said something to you that the power of those words went right into your heart, either positive or negative? Yeah. I've had it happen both ways. I've had people cut me to the heart like a knife, speaking, you know, bad negative things over me, and I've had people speak the prophetic word to me that has healed me and set me on a plane that, you know, has been powerful, been incredible. So words are forcible, they're powerful. Jeremiah 23:29 says, "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer," and the Hebrew word there is a forge hammer, a hammer that is taken to forge things into being or shape things into a certain thing, certain way. Okay, a forge hammer. "Is not my word like a hammer that breaks," and that means to disperse or scatter the rock into pieces. And so the image here, the picture is that when we align ourselves with God's word and we speak that word like God speaks that word, we get the same effect in our life. So I had to learn that because I was timid, squeamish to speak some of these things in the word because I didn't feel worthy that I could do that until I understood that I'm not speaking my word. I'm honoring and I'm blessing God and I'm worshiping God when I speak the same thing that God does. Okay, and when I speak the same thing, when I come into that alignment, everybody say alignment. Alignment. When I come into that alignment with Him and we are one and the same, speaking one and the same, we are speaking the will of God, then that connection is made between heaven and earth, and the power of that supernatural power of that word can begin to flow. And that's why you don't speak how you feel, you don't speak what you say, you speak what God says is. Because you've got to give the power, you've got to get the power into the situation, and you've got to give it time to work. And so you keep speaking what God has said so the power can turn things around. Amen? How many of you, you know, have been stuck in a ditch before? Some of you guys that love trucks and, you know, you see some poor person, some inferior vehicle that's stuck in the ditch, and you come along with your big old four-wheel drive, and you hook the chain up to it, you know, and you hook it up, and they're in there really good. They're really stuck in that ditch, you know. It's mud up to the headlights, and you start pulling, and the power's going, and you see some little bit of results, but nothing's happening yet. But pretty soon, you keep the power applied, and they come right on out of the ditch. Okay, mud flying everywhere, you know, and you leave, and you're 2 foot taller. You're walking around like, I'm the man, you know. You know, my truck's better. And so the word is a lot like that. You got to give it time to work, but it's working. The moment you speak it, it is working. The moment you speak it, it is working. And that didn't say you're going to see it, but I said the moment you speak it, because God is a God that honors His word. And if you do what He tells you to do, He immediately begins to go to work. And it doesn't mean that you comprehend it or see it, but in the spiritual realm, there are things moving and scattering and being released and being empowered and broken off and being birthed and born and things you can't even see until, you know, down the line. So you got to keep the connection active, okay? Don't break the chain, okay? Keep the chain connected to the car and you'll pull it out of the ditch with your words. How forcible are right words? Now, when we look at Jeremiah 23:29, if you look at the context of this, because a lot of times we don't look at context, and you can use this without going into the context. I believe it's still true. But if you look at the context was that there were false prophets prophesying false words when God spoke this word about His word being a hammer. And so that's what's happening in our lives, is that the devil will be speaking false words. You're never going to get out of this. You're going to go broke. You're going to die before you see your kids get out of college. You're going to die before your grandkids come along. You're going to die before this, or this is going to happen. You're going to lose your mind. You know, you're going to have this happen. You're going to be forsaken in your old age and all by all this, these lies, these false words that go out. But God says, "My word is like a hammer." Yes. Yes. A forging hammer that forges your life as you speak it. A forging hammer, and disperses or scatters to pieces the rock. Okay? Amen. See, the rock is like a stronghold that the enemy wants to put in your life. He wants to establish a rocky stronghold in your life, but the word disperses it and breaks into pieces. I'll never forget when I was living in Batesville, we had bought our first house when we lived up there in that area. And it was kind of on a little bit on a hill, and it was kind of rocky. And I remember that, you know, time after time I was mowing in the backyard, and there was this big rock, about this big around, that I would mow over, and it kept, you know, getting higher and higher, it felt like. And I kept running over it with my lawnmower, and I get upset, you know, every time I hit it, think I've missed it, and I hit it with my blades. And so I finally got upset enough that I went and I got my hammer. And this rock is a, you know, good sized rock. And I just, you know, I was just, you know, guys, how it gets where, you know, you get that, you know, you get that intention, that surge, like I'm gonna tackle this, you know. I may throw my arm out of socket, but I'm gonna get this done. So I got my hammer out there. I don't remember what kind of hammer I had. It wasn't a sledgehammer, but it was a smallish kind of hammer. I just beat that rock. I probably beat it, you know, 5 times, you know, 10 times, 20, 30, 40, probably 50 times. And about that 50th time, it might have been 40, I don't know, but it was a lot. I was feeling it, you know what I'm saying? I was feeling it in my shoulder. And I beat it one time, whatever number time it was, and I saw a teeny tiny little fissure in that rock. And you know, it was a cloud the size of a man's hand, you know. And so I just kept beating, and pretty soon that thing cracked. And then, of course, then it was really fun after that, because, you know, you'd hit it and just keep cracking and cracking and cracking, and we dealt with that rock. And so sometimes the word's like that. Sometimes you get instant results, and sometimes you keep at it. You got, no, that's not happening. I'm speaking the end result. This is what happens in my life in this situation. This is what happens. This is it. This is what I have in Jesus. This is my end result. I refuse this. And so the rock will crack. Amen. I love this story. There's a minister I've been following on Instagram or on Facebook, and he's had these reels that come across. And he was sharing that in their church, someone in their church had this vision of this. I'm gonna make sure I get this right here. So he had this vision of a spinning hammer between two vices in heaven. And this hammer, even think of Thor's hammer, you know. I guess I was the only one that saw that movie. Anyway, but this hammer was spinning by, you know, around this between these vices in heaven. And as the hammer would spin, the whole word of God was written on that hammer. As it would spin around, it's like he could see the whole word of God was on that hammer. And he said anytime that a believer on earth would speak, that hammer would like whoosh, go to earth and work on the evil and come back whoosh, come back in place in heaven. And I thought that was so. And I can't give you scripture, passage, and verse there about a hammer because it's not in the word. But the concept of the word being a hammer is in the word. And that, I think that's a good word picture, you know, for the way this works, because as I said, when you do what God says, when you, and here it is, it's you've heard the term godly order, okay? Our godly alignment. When you get into alignment with God's established spiritual principles, you start operating on a brand new level. See, a lot of times we never get into that level because we don't give God permission to work, like I talked about. We don't come to a place where we have actively said, God, I'm done with this. I give you permission to get right in the middle of this, and I give you permission to fix this problem. And now I'm listening to you, and I'm humbling myself. That's a part of spiritual alignment. I'm humbling myself, and I'm getting into your grace to begin to fix this. That's supernatural anointing being applied. And so because I'm doing this, I'm expecting your hand to begin to move in my life in this situation. And then you begin to speak what God tells you to speak over that situation. You're coming into spiritual alignment, godly order, okay? And when you're in godly order, then the angels can work, the word works, the power works, the situation is being influenced by that position you're taking in Christ, okay? I said in Christ, not in your flesh, because the flesh wants to hit somebody upside the head when it's not working the way you want it to work. But the Spirit, no, backs up and just stays quiet and goes at it from the prayer room sometimes late at night and just says, no, this is what's happening. I bind this from operating. I speak peace over this situation. I'm just securing my victory in Jesus' name. It's my, you know, you're doing that from a totally different perspective. You're doing it from a spiritual perspective. And so you get supernatural results. Now, folks, I'm telling you, this stuff is real.
Yes.
I'm not telling you something I haven't been through multiple times, that I haven't used in my life multiple times. This stuff is real, and this stuff works. But you have to come to a place where you move past your own personality, your comfort level, and you do what the Word says. You don't just hear it, but you do it and you put it into practice. Can I just say as a personal testimony that my makeup and personality is non-confrontational, in a way on that side. My personality is I would just like to sit in a corner and think and do my thing and just be left alone. That's my personality. Now, that's not beneficial, okay? There's strengths to that, but there's a lot of weaknesses to that too, and so you have to step out of that and step into what God has called you to do. And one of the things I had to learn in my life is what I'm telling you right now. I had to speak according to the Word, not how I felt, and not the depression and not the discouragement that I was in, but I had to speak what God told me to speak about situations, because I got desperate enough, they had to change. They had to change. And I was not willing to live, even though I was saved and going to heaven and filled with the Holy Spirit, but I was not willing to live the way that my emotions were and the way my life was when I knew God had way more for me than I was experiencing. And that motivation drove me to find out from the Lord, what is it, God, I'm missing? And I went through a multi-year path, you know, of God moving things in my life and exposing me to different teachings, because some of the teachings I had, even though they were beneficial, getting me, you know, on track to heaven and in worship and filled with the Holy Spirit, they were not that beneficial in teaching me how to use that in my daily life to overcome. So I had to have that change in my life. But getting into alignment is critical for these things to work, which means you've got to choose them. You know, you've got to do them. You've got to learn them, knowledge. Okay? I know I'm just kind of talking here tonight, but this is what I feel like I need to do. This is the approach I feel like I need to take tonight. And so understand that getting into godly order is one of the things that will yield great results in your life. And when you get into godly order, part of that godly order is going to be your speaking. Your speaking, okay? Praise God. When you get your speaking in line, you've got harvest in line too, okay? Because your words are seeds, and the words that you're speaking are seeds you're sowing into your future, which become harvests, plural, harvests, positive and negative. Some of us, we got a lot of positive harvests, but there's a few negative patches out there too that we still are working on. Amen? Myself included. All right. Y'all got real quiet there. Real quiet. Job 22:28 says, you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So shall light shine on your ways. So shall light shine on your ways. And so, this is saying that, you know, those things that you declare, they're going to rise up and take form before you, okay? They're going to rise up and have an image before you. They're going to take life, and they're going to be a living thing as you do that. I want to go turn a little bit different angle here. Let's go to John 18:6. And we're still talking about the power of the spoken word. John 18, this is when Jesus has come out of Gethsemane and, you know, the disciples have let him down by going to sleep in the garden, not praying for him three times. And they rise up and then they all come for Jesus to take him with Judas. Y'all know the story, right? I think most of us here know that. And so they're there seeking Jesus, and they said, you know, we're looking for Jesus as Nazareth, and we're here at this verse 6. As soon as he had said to them, I am, they went backward and all fell to the ground. Okay. So when Jesus said, I am he, okay, they all went backwards and fell on the ground. This was not a Pentecostal service, okay? This was a mob coming to take somebody to their death. But yet we had a whole bunch of people slain in the spirit, for those of you that know what that means. Now, I just want to point something out. When it says, I am he, the word he there is in italics. What he said is, I am. I am. Does that sound familiar, that phrase? Yes. I am the I am, he said to Moses. And so there was something about when he said that, that was a prophetic statement, word, declaration of the essence of all that he was. And when he said, I am, it was so powerful that it reverberated through that garden, canyon area, wherever they were at. And it caused that, I don't know how many soldiers were there, but it was more than two, okay? We know one that had an ear cut off, you know. But there was more than two there. There was a good number there. And it says they all went backwards and fell on the ground. And so I just want to share with you that words are powerful. When Jesus, who is the living word, spoke his word to those people, you see the evidence of what happened. You know that when Jesus faced Satan himself in the wilderness after not eating for 40 days, that he only answered him with the written word of God, okay? Only answered him with the written word of God, and that's what we need to be doing in our life. I can remember when I was a kid, I was in my early 20s, okay? And I mean early 20s. And I was still dealing with working through, you know, a lot of spiritual darkness and trying to figure out how to walk in victory and loving the Lord and loving the power of his spirit, you know, loving, you know, seeing miracles and, you know, great services where God moved, loving all that kind of stuff. But when the service wasn't going on, I didn't feel very victorious. I don't know if you've ever been in that boat or not, but I was feeling that way a lot in my life. And I remember that I during that time period, I went to sleep one night and I had this prophetic dream, okay? And this was kind of one of those Genesis moments that kind of led me to what I'm teaching tonight. And in this dream, my family and I were all, you know, huddled together in a group, you know, the four of us, me and my brother, my mom and dad, we were huddled together in a group. And there, this, the enemy was just, these demonic figures were just harassing us and trying to cause fear at them, you know, confronting us and stuff. I didn't see them real clearly in the dream. I just saw, you know, images of these things and stuff, just enough to know that these were, you know, demonic spirits that were in this dream of mine. Okay. This was not, you know, alive. I was in a dream. But the fear was real. You could feel the fear. And I remember in this dream, I said to my mom, quick, mom, hand me a Bible. And she handed me a Bible and I opened the Bible and I began to read it. And I mean, not just like read words, but I mean, read it to these spirits. And they began to run. And I'm trying to remember what exactly it looked like or felt like, but it felt like it was terror reversed on the other end. And that dream has never left my memory, and that was some almost 40 years, 38 years ago, probably something like that. I have never forgotten that dream, and I've told it multiple times because of the power and the authority I felt in that dream that helped shape and understand the power of words, the spoken word of God in my life. And I'm telling you, the best thing you can do when you feel harassed by the enemy, when nothing is going right, is to pick up your Bible or to pick up some scriptures out of your little box or, you know, off of your iPhone like I have, and begin to speak those scriptures over your life. I was blessed when I traveled a lot for nearly 20 years. I was blessed that when I was driving between towns collecting money, that I could just speak over, you know, different things in my life. When things weren't going good in business, I could speak over certain situations. When I showed up at a location and somebody had stole my machines and I was hopping mad, and I was, you know, mad enough to spit, you know, I could take that to the Lord, you know, because I'm thinking, I just lost this number of dollars in machines. I just lost this much revenue because, you know, they weren't there making money anymore. And somebody's got my machine and that ain't right, you know. And so I could stew over that for a little bit And I just knew that I don't want to feel like this in my heart. And so I want to take this to the Lord. So I had an hour to drive. And so during that next time, for at least part of that time, I was getting that over onto the Lord. I was casting my care over on the Lord. And multiple times the Lord, he would tell me like, you know, how do you want to play this? You know, it was like he would come to me and just come to my understanding and say, well, how do you want to play this? Do you want to be offended over this? Do you want to carry resentment and bitterness over this? Or do you want to use this for me to bless you? And so what he would tell me to do is give them that machine. Those people that stole that machine from you, give that to them and make that a seed so I can bless it in your life. Now that don't make no sense. Especially when you're already mad, that don't make no sense. Excuse my English, I know that's not correct. But I knew by the Spirit this was the answer to what I had just been praying. It was the answer for me putting this behind me and getting back into peace and joy, okay? And so I did that. I did that multiple times. You know, many hundreds of dollars I did that with, okay? But it's just a point where that the Lord will teach you what to say. He will instruct you what to speak over your life. And sometimes, and I haven't said this at all in this series really so far in 5 weeks, and I'm surprised, but when you pray in your prayer language, when you pray in Holy Spirit, when you're praying over your life, you need to understand that there's going to be phrases that come to you. There's going to be instruction that comes to you that you're going to think, you know, where did that come from? That just must be something just, you know, a fluke. Pay attention to those things. Because it's got to line up the word, but things like that's one of those things that came to me, like let it be a seed in your life versus letting it be an offense in your life. Give it to him and let me use that to bless you and bring you harvest and multiplication. Because see, the truth is that I'm getting way more back by doing that than being mad at what I had just lost. See, I entered into a multiplication anointing instead of, you know, a loss of thievery. Those are two different things. That's blessing or curse. That's operating in kingdom or operating in the world system. Okay? And that doesn't come to you in your own mentality. That doesn't come to you in your own skill and wisdom. That comes to you by a spiritual impartation. And we all can do that. I'm not special. Okay? Every one of us can do that. And the truth is probably that has already been happening in your life and you just didn't pick up on it. Because sometimes when you look back, when something bad's happened, you look back and think, was there anything that came to me in the last 3 weeks that maybe had instruction not to do something or to change something or go on a different day or just not go at all? Did anything happen? I can't tell you how many times in my life when I look back, that's been the case. The Lord was trying to tell me and I didn't hear it. You know, not maliciously, but I just didn't hear it. I wasn't careful to hear. And I'm just encouraging you. I'm not being in condemnation. I'm just encouraging you. God is speaking to you about any and everything in your life, about your finances, your investments, your future, your past, and how to get free of your past if you're not already. He's speaking to you about all of that stuff. And as you pray in the Spirit, pay attention to what comes out of your spirit, because the Holy Spirit will interpret not just your words in a service for a public for a public interpretation, but he will also sometimes will interpret what you are praying over about your own life, okay? And sometimes it'll be about yourself, and sometimes it'll be about, you know, Aunt Gertrude that needs your, you know, needs you to go over into English and declare healing, you know, over her life right now. And so what I do in that respect, and this is just going to be free of charge, there's no charge for this next part here, but, you know, I pray both in English and in tongues at the same time. When I get something in English, I switch over and I speak what I hear in English over that situation or over that person. And when that kind of plays out, you know, it's like riding a wave, a surfboard, you know, in Hawaii, which I've never had the guts to do. But, you know, if you're up on a wave and you're riding that wave and then it kind of goes out, you know, and dies down, you go back over, you start praying in tongues again. And you pray in tongues and you hear something else and you pray, you know, and pray that over your life, or you talk to the Lord about that, you fellowship with the Lord. I've just been doing a lot more of just thanking the Lord when he shows me, Lord, thank you for that. I just worship you for that. I'm just looking forward to walking with you to seeing that happen in my life. I'm looking forward to the worship that's going to come to you as we see these successes. I'm looking forward to, you know, to you experiencing this with me, to helping me through everything as this comes about. And I'm thanking you for the end result. Go back to praying in the Spirit some more. You know, if he shows you something else, do that. So that's just a little secret in my life that's happened. And I will say that for the things God has done in my life, that's been a key part of praying in the Spirit and then speaking those words that he shows me to speak. You're not going to know everything you speak, and that you shouldn't. But there are times when those are coming to you, you know, grow in that. Let him mature you in that, because those, you know, Paul talks about, he says the words that we speak are spiritual words. Okay, I think that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that we looked at. He talks about praying words of the Spirit and spiritual words. He speaks those things that he gets from Holy Spirit. He speaks those natural things, which are spiritual messages that come from praying in the Spirit. He speaks that over his life. So understand that's a powerful thing. So Jesus said these things, I am, and says they fell backward to the ground. And we talked about that being an image of what God told Moses, that he is the I am, and that this signified his divine identity and divine authority. And so when we talk about wealth, going back to wealth just for a moment here, and using our authority, remember we're talking about, you know, our words and how that our words have authority in our life, and how that those words spoken are seeds, they go before us and they produce harvests down the road. So we can use these words when we talk about the realm of wealth. And I tell you, there's not any more area, I think, in the church where that is attacked more than the area of wealth. So true. And health as well. But both of those areas. And there's so much teaching that based out of fear that you're going to get into something crazy and covetous, and you know, and there are people that get into that. I'm not denying that. But sometimes the same people that are praying so hard against prosperity are on the end of the program asking for your donations and, you know, your monthly support. And, you know, some of them used to be like, you know, we're going to go out of business and we're going to go off the air if you don't give to us. And so that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, you know, borderline hypocritical possibly. But all I'm saying is that there's a balance in this, and God doesn't want his people bound by anything, including in the area of money and wealth. And we've established that wealth is not just money only, it's the whole package from God. But we can use authority in our wealth, number one, by personal choice. By personal choice. We choose to take authority over our finances, okay? We choose to take authority over finances. And as I've been saying today, one of the big areas is that we use our words over our finances. Number two, we can choose to sow seed to take authority, what I've been talking about for the last 10 minutes. We can choose to sow seed by using our words in the area of our financial life. For me, what that looked like was when we were pastoring in Batesville, and the Lord would lay scriptures on my heart that I would take note of. Sometimes he would just give me a phrase that after I prayed in the Spirit would come to me. Just like a phrase that was just so odd. Like I would think, I would never say that. But yet that phrase had, like, it's like a power attachment to it. Have you ever been around somebody, think about this. Have you ever been around somebody that, you know, they're just a powerful person that when they say something, it's like you hang on every word. And when they say something, their words are just so powerful. It's like those phrases that come in the Spirit are like that. It's like you can just sense that there's something to what I've just heard. And so I keep phrases like that, whether they come to me or I hear a minister say them, sometimes I will just notate that. It might be three words, but it'll be something about, you know, prosperity or something about the kingdom that it's a phrase I've never heard before. It's like a phrase from heaven almost that is meant for me to hear at this moment. So I'll make note of that and I'll incorporate that into my prayer life whenever I'm prompted. Those phrases then will begin to come back to me. And so what I've learned is it's like the sword of the Spirit for me to use, to hack off, hindrances or whatever at that moment in my life. And so pay attention, because, your words are seeds, and that's establishing an authority in your life, in the area of your finances and others as well. The other thing is to pray what Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, I believe, and I covered this in our Sunday school lesson this week, where I didn't do a video, but I just did a post. And we talked about the Lord's Prayer, and that when Jesus said, "Kingdom of God come, will of God be done," that looks a lot different than the movies, okay? Looks a lot different. We see Jesus, with hands folded and, a soft, meager, weak voice saying, "Kingdom of God come, will of God be done." But man, when you go into the Greek, it's like, "Kingdom of God come, will of God be done." Okay? So he's not praying passive prayers here. There's a declaration. There's a demanding that what is in heaven happens on earth. Is this too much for you tonight? All right. All right, so go back and read that post to get some more of that. But that's taking authority, and I often pray that. Very, very often, sometimes multiple times a day, almost a day doesn't go by without me declaring, "Kingdom of God come, will of God be done in my family, in my business, on my staff. Kingdom of God come over my cash flow, be done in heaven or on earth as it is in heaven." And so taking individual things in your life and declaring that phrase over it is you literally taking the laser light of authority of God's word and focusing it on that subject, okay? It's you rising up in authority and, and focusing the light where it needs to go so that the power can be released. So please hear me. This is a very powerful, powerful thing you can use in your finances and other things in your life. Then next, remember I talked about coming into agreement with God. Malachi chapter 3, one of the promises of Malachi chapter 3 of the tither is that the devourer is rebuked. Not only is the windows of heaven open, but the devourer is rebuked. And so I've had God challenge me, "Hey, this is truth. I need you to come into agreement with what I have established here, because you're being stolen from." Yeah, that's good. So I need you to get into alignment with me here, that the devourer is rebuked in your life. And the next one kind of goes along with it, in harassing spirits, taking authority over harassing spirits. Can I tell you that there are harassing spirits out there? Okay. Now, I'm not somebody who believes there's a devil under every rock. Okay. I'm not that kind of person. We can do plenty of damage just ourselves. Amen. With bad choices. We see that in people's lives every day. But there are times where you're going to have harassing spirits tackle your life. And that's when you've got to rise up in your authority in the name of Jesus, which is a powerful weapon we have to use in any area of our life, and say, "In the name of Jesus, I bind harassing spirits. You cease and desist in your maneuvers. No more. This ends, and this ends now." Right. And when you do that, what happens is that, because you've come in again into godly order in your life, when that happens, then you release not only the power, but angels can get on board with the will of God. Why? Because you've come into alignment with Him. What do? They minister to the heirs of salvation. They do the will of God for the heirs of salvation in your life. And so as you speak that, how many understand harassment is not the will of God? Let me see your hand. It's not the will of God. Remember, He came to give life, life more abundantly, not death. Who's the author of death? Satan. And so when we speak those things in our life, we give Him permission to begin to move. And then the other thing I do often is I will ask the Lord to send angels. Like if I need help, it says ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door shall be open. So I say, "Lord, I'm aligning myself, I'm humbling myself, I submit myself therefore to God, I resist the devil, he flees from me," kind of a thing. So I submit myself, I humble myself, then I ask, "Lord, send angels anywhere I need it. Anywhere where I need assistance in the future, in the days ahead, in this situation I'm dealing with, Lord, send angels." And sometimes I have prayed, like over my kids, I have prayed, "God, send tailor-made angels This is one of those phrases that came out of my mouth one time. Send tailor-made angels, special angels, with just the right ability to minister to this. And I prayed that one time, and then it got caught in my spirit. And then God brings that up as a tool every so often. Pray for me to release a tailor-made angel for this situation, because angels have different assignments. You see, Michael had a different assignment. Other angels had a different assignment. And so they have assignments, and the Lord doesn't mind you asking if that's in the Word. And Matthew 7:7, I think that's in the Word. Asking it shall be given you, okay? So maybe I didn't go too far there and blow your circuits, but I can assure you that angels will work on your behalf if you'll line up with God. You're not going to go become an angel, you know, commander in His army. No, I'm not talking about that. But you can line up with Him and allow those angels to work in conjunction with His will in your life as you stay in the Word and you keep Him first in your life. Amen? All right, and then the last, I want to kind of end with this. Declaring peace. We touched on this just a little bit, but declaring peace, okay? This is so important. I can't tell you how many times I have used this in my life, that when you enter situations, maybe your life is pretty calm and you just have like a bad day every 5, 6, 8 weeks, but mine, I tend to have to use this almost every day, because am I weird, or is it okay? I'm just checking, because I have to use this a lot by necessity, not because I want to or not because I want to look good up here. I have to use this. This is like my boots, you know, putting on your boots to go work kind of a thing. And I have just learned that if you want peace, speak peace. If you don't have peace, go speak it into your life, because it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You don't even have to wonder, does God want me to have that? You don't even have to pray, God, do you want me to have peace in this situation? He is the Prince of Peace. I mean, He's the ruler that emanates peace. And so when you speak peace, you're doing nothing but releasing the power and the image and the dominance of who Christ Himself is. So there is no question, no room to ask about the will of God in this situation. And let me tell you something. If you're the reason you don't have peace, when you declare that peace, God will talk to you as His son or daughter and say, look, son, I want you to have this peace and I'm going to give it to you, but you're going to have to understand, if you don't make this correction, it's just going to come back. That's good. Until you make the correction. You can pray it off, but it's going to come back again. Okay? So that's the way the Lord talks to you. He's not going to chastise you. Okay? He's going to talk to you as a son or daughter. He's going to use the Word to correct you in your life. And then as you humble yourself with that Word, that peace resides there. It's an abiding peace that stays as, again, you're in alignment with Him. We're talking about divine alignment tonight. But Jesus said to the storm, first of all, He said, peace, be still. And He was in a physical body when He did that, with the power of the Holy Spirit in his heart. He wasn't doing that as God. He was doing that as a man filled with Holy Spirit in his life. Okay, so He said, peace, be still. And this is the one that really got me today when I was studying. So He'd been, you know, the tomb was rolled away. He was resurrected. He appeared to the disciples, and they were freaking out when they realized, oh, it really was Jesus. We didn't see Him, but it really was. Didn't our hearts burn within us? And so they run to tell the disciples, and where are they at? They're in a room locked away because of fear of the Jews, okay? And so we pick this up in, forgive me. I don't think I didn't write down the reference, but here's what the Word says. Now, as they said these things, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be to you. Peace be to you. Now, Jesus was not being polite there, okay? Please hear what I'm saying. He was not being polite. He was speaking into that situation. Because notice what the verse 37 here says, or whatever chapter this is, you can find it. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And He said to them, why are you so troubled, and why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see me, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see as I have. But my point is that He spoke peace into a terrifying situation for those people He loved. Okay? We've got to flip it around. We've got to be the Jesus in the situation, not the terrified people. Do you see that? You've got to do that. You've got to do that. You've got to train yourself to do that, because I find myself, I'm the terrified person, but I've also learned more to flip the switch that, oh, this is my signal. Praise God. This is my signal that the power of God's about to be released in my life about this darkness and these demonic forces that are confronting me, trying to tear something up in my life. God is about to be God and demonstrate before me my enemies being scattered. Because I'm about to speak peace, and I'm about to kick some devil butt in my life. Excuse my language. And this is going to flee. All right? Now, you just have to, just forgive me. This is not me up here. This is not my general personality that you see up here. But when I pray, I don't want people around me when I pray, because I like to get loud when I have to get loud. I don't get loud unless I need to get loud. But when it's time, I don't want anybody within a couple hundred feet of me, and I want to be in a closed room. Because I may lift the ceiling tiles up just an inch or two when I'm demanding what is going to be done in my life. You start messing with my kids, let me tell you something. You better get the heck out of the way. Okay? Excuse me, I probably shouldn't have said that. But you better get out of the way, because I am going to deal with that in the spirit, and it is not going to terrify or inflict my family. It's not going to destroy it. I'm going to deal with that in the name of Jesus. I may have to get up the next day and do the same thing. I may have to get up in the middle of the night and do the same thing. But it is going to be what the Word of God says it's going to be. It is. It is. It is. And the very moment I pray, and the very moment I come into alignment to speak that word, God goes to work. And in fact, He's gone to work before then, because He's prompted me to tell me what to do. Okay, He's waiting on me then to flip the switch, to get in the saddle, to blast off, and for us to face this thing together. Praise God. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. That word anxious, the root word there, it is a strangulating force. It's somebody grabbing somebody by the throat to strangle life out. That's what anxiety is. There is fear attached there. There's a destruction. That's kind of a word picture, part of this word picture. But the word anxiety is not just an uncomfortable feeling. It's way beyond that in the Greek here, okay? So be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now hear all of that he said, because it's important to do all of that. But then he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, so guard and keep your minds through Jesus Christ. And understand here, this word guard here is a military term meaning to hold a fort, or to protect and to militarily hold a fort from the enemy. The peace of God is what does that. The enemy comes in, but the peace of God is there to hold the fort, and not just hold it, but to turn it around and to reset the atmosphere in your life, to reset the atmosphere to the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is. That is the atmosphere that gets reset when anxiety tries to grab you by the throat and strangle the life out of you. Okay? And that's why you've got to speak the peace of God over your life. Because that's for the enemy to do that over your life, he is trespassing on God's property. God needs you in partnership, in the partnership you live in forever with Him on this earth. He needs you to rise up and do your part, which is not just sit there and take it. I've done that many times in my life until I've got so fed up, then I get in the saddle with the Lord, and then we deal with it. Okay, but He needs you to get in the saddle and deal with it and rise up and to declare what He has said over your life, and not let the anxiety continue to grow and distill from you. So how does this work in my life? I very simply say, just let peace come right now. In the name of Jesus, peace comes over my heart. In the name of Jesus, peace comes over my mind. In the name of Jesus, I speak peace over this family right now that's just gone through this law. I speak the peace of God in Christ Jesus over every member of that family right now. Okay? And so, by the words of your mouth, you release the power of that peace. And the power of that peace means the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God's power is being released in that situation. And it's going to manifest itself through that peace I'm talking about here. So, amen. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So releasing or speaking peace is a release of the authority that God has given us, and heaven backs us up when we do that. And again, there's no talking God into it. This is already an established will of God, okay, in your life. He set it into being already. It's a set, established weapon, and you can go and grab it out of the gun cabinet for you guys to understand this the best tonight. Just go grab it out of the gun cabinet. It's something for you to readily grab and use in your life. I want to mention the last area of authority, and this is, there's many more. I'm just going to end with this one, is that abiding under the shelter, the wings of the Almighty, is also a position of authority. Okay, I'm not going to go into that because I can't go into Psalm 91 this late. But abiding under his wings can also protect you from a lot. Now, what is the most important authority, use of authority that you can use in your life? It's the one that you need the most at the moment, okay? There may be times that, you know, the order is to speak peace. There may be times that it's to, you know, do nothing but go get into the presence of God, come under his wings, okay? Other times it may be you're using the name of Jesus against something. Other times you're not doing anything more than just reading the word and just ingesting the word and just filling yourself up. And at the right moment, you know, there's going to be a recoil come out of your spirit because you've been putting it in. There's going to be a recoil come out, and then you're going to speak something that was it. That's what you needed to speak. That was the sword of the spirit, and that broke that thing because you filled yourself up. A lot of different ways God can it really just boils down. We walk in the spirit. Amen. We walk in the spirit. So I wanted to say this about finances is let God love you in your finances too. Okay. Let God love you in your finances. He wants to do that. Okay. And this, what I've shared about authority tonight, really, really is important in the area of finances. And because I know that people deal with all kinds of things. They deal with poverty thinking, and they deal with, you know, failures and things like that. You can come out of that. There's good news. You can come out of that because you are an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Amen. Remember the prayer of Jabez we talked about. I encourage you to go back and listen to that podcast that the church has, that Jabez prayed that God would bless him. And bless him indeed, expand his territory, that his hand would be with him, he would not cause pain, and that he would keep evil away in his life. So remember that. There's always hope in the Lord. There's peace in the Lord. You've got authority. You've got seed. You've got Holy Spirit as your helper. And you have a good life in the kingdom of God. Amen? All right, let's pray. We'll dismiss. Father, thank you so much for your blessing and for all that is in your word, all is in your kingdom. I bless these people as they leave tonight. I bless them in the name of Jesus, and I thank you that this word bears fruit in Jesus' name. Amen.